This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Welcome back, guys. Episode 106 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, guys? I'm super excited about to share space with a gentleman that is super driven, passionate, super intelligent.
Yeah, I can't wait. I've been following Lane Norton for a little while now. Lane, a powerlifter. He is a bodybuilder. He's a doctor. Bio Lane, they call him.
Business owner, entrepreneur. He obviously has an obsession with being the best version of himself. And he not only competed in the bodybuilding and powerlifting. If you look back, and we'll get into it, he dominated in those areas. He's one of these people that goes really all in when he has a goal.
Yeah, let me just have a look at his stats. Okay, so his deadlift is 711 pounds, 322 kilograms. His squat is 668 pounds, 303 kilograms. And this was all done at 93 kilograms.
Yeah.
Body weight.
And, you know, he's a science guy too. Mm-hmm. So the physical attributes are there, the abilities. But also when you add the mindset and the intelligence, it's just a perfect example of the more you learn, the more you can achieve in just putting it towards what you want to do.
Oh, he's got a great mindset and ability. Just to backtrack from what Johnny said about his educational background, PhD in nutritional science, a bachelor's in biochemistry.
That's yeah, man. Let's bring him on, man. I can't wait to do this. Let's bring Lane Norton to the show.
Definitely. Just before we go on, guys, just a big thank you for everyone tuning into the show. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And we really appreciate all those five-star reviews coming in. Helps us grow. More people can see us in iTunes. And, yeah, if you haven't yet, that's the best way for us, because obviously we do this podcast for free, and we always love bringing it. And yeah, we just want to touch more people. So that's the end game, is to make sure all these guests that we bring on with all these, you know, takeaways and life lessons, we just want it to be reached by more people. So if you can do us a favor, leave us a review and tell your friends, that's the best thing you can do for us.
You guys could also access our episodes from our website at thevisionboardpodcast.com. And then, like Tristan said, get involved. We like sharing this journey. If you have any questions for us, shoot us an email at info@divisionboardpodcast.com.
Sweet. Now, guys, here is Lane Norton. All right. Our special guest is Dr. Lane Norton. Lane is a renowned preparation and physique coach and natural bodybuilder / powerlifter with a PhD in nutritional sciences. He's the founder of BioLane Carbon Supplements and also co-founder of Avatar Nutrition. He's one of the most highly regarded people in health and fitness. We welcome Lane Norton. Lane, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Excellent. Lane, thank you for stopping by the Vision Board. Like Tristan said, powerlifter, athlete, PhD, businessman. You're a man of many titles. Could you share with our fans listening and your fans at home
some insight on what 2017 is bringing to the table for you and your personal brand?
Oh, God. a lot. A lot. Avatar, which is my, for those who aren't aware, Avatar Nutrition is my, basically like a computer program that I, along with Katie Coles and Mark Springer, my business partners, designed. And basically what that does is based on data you enter into the system, it will cut, it will formulate custom nutrition recommendations. And then, which there's plenty of other things to do that, but then it adjusts them every week based on your progress, based on your goals. And our algorithm is just so much more complex and accurate than anything else that's out there. It actually fits the definition of an artificial intelligence. And it's about, I would say, like 10 pages of raw data calculations and equations. So we're pretty excited. What we're doing is we're working on getting expanding that a lot. There's a ton of stuff we want to do with it. And yeah, I can't say too much because we have people already trying to copycat us, and I don't want to give them any more ideas because I don't mind copycatting because it just pushes me to do more and work harder. And at the end of the day, I have more passion and drive than the other people do, so I'm still going to win. But they can just wait until I do it, and then they can try to copy it. But suffice to say, we have a lot of stuff that's going to be going on, and we're really excited about it.
Lane, with that,
No, go ahead.
Yeah, with Avatar, is this a product for the general pop, for everybody?
Absolutely. So that's, we want to make, right now it gives macronutrient recommendations. And so obviously we'd love to get to the point where it becomes a little bit more simplified for somebody who doesn't know how to do that. But we also, as of now, I think giving that advice, we also have basically tutorials that teach people how to flexible diet, teach people how to track their macros. And we give them a lot of resources. So it's not just a tracker. There's plenty of those out there. It's not just a macro calculator. There's plenty out there. It adjusts to the user. It's really insane how accurate it is. I would say right now we have about a 99.5% effectiveness, which basically 995 times out of 1,000, it will do the appropriate adjustment based on what happens to the person. So like I'll look at it and say, yes, that is the adjustment I would make as a coach. So it's $10 a month, which means anybody can use it. Okay. So yeah, we have a lot of stuff we're going to do with that. We're hiring on a bunch of people. Like there's just, yeah, we're just really excited about it. And then as far as carbon goes, we're doing some expansion. We're bringing on some more ambassadors. We're pushing the product more. I believe we have three core products that are really, really good. It's just been slow to get started. And I think a lot of that has to do with, to be quite honest, I'm not willing to lie in my marketing like most other companies are. And because of that, it's hard to sell it when you've got it's harder to sell it when you've got, you know, other companies over here saying, yes, 5,000% more muscle, you know, and incinerate body fat, get shredded in 3 weeks, you know, and I'm not willing to lie to the consumer. So it's going to take a little time to get it going, but I do believe it will get going, and it'll be a pillar brand in the marketplace. And then as far as my coaching and my brand goes for BioLane, I'm doing a lot of stuff. So end of February, I'm coaching right now Steve Cook and Courtney King. Nice. And so they're, I don't know if you guys are familiar with them.
Yeah, I see Steve Cook.
Optimum Nutrition.
Yeah, so... So I actually coached Steve when he won his pro card years ago and coached him when he won his first pro show. And so he's very familiar with flexible dieting, all that sort of stuff. And now I'm working with Courtney. Ironically, Courtney years ago, probably I would say 4 or 5 years ago, when she was with a big soulless team who shall remain nameless, came to one of my seminars in disguise, like literally showed up with a hoodie on. And a hat and like pulled down over her eyes and everything. And yeah, it's pretty funny. We joke about it now, but I'm going out and spending a few days with them. We're going to film a bunch of content for my YouTube channel and for my Facebook and do that. And then from there, I head to Sacramento, and I'm going to film another PowerCast episode with Mark Bell and his gang. Mm. And then I'm heading to San Jose, and I'll film for Mind Pump, that podcast. And then I'm from there, the next week, I go to the Arnold. And then I'm going to some shows that Steve is competing in, and we're going to film content there as well. And and then I'm actually, I always try to find a way to make my hobbies something I can grow and not necessarily make money at, but like expand my brand. So I actually contacted the most popular one now. He's not quite the most popular, but in my opinion, the best fishing channel on YouTube. It's a channel called Black Tip H. It's a guy named Josh Jorgensen. And he has videos that have 32 million views. And, you know, he's got 500,000 subscribers. Jeez. And I actually reached out to him because he does a lot of, like, semi-fitness stuff. Like, he has a heart rate monitor when he fishes, and he puts all that stuff up. And so I said, hey, you know, I think we could have some crossover appeal here. And so I'm actually going to go down to – he's in Miami. I'm going to go down there, film a lot of content with him. We're going to go out, catch some big fish, and I'm going to talk about – you know, we're actually going to do some – hopefully some scientific measurements, you know, of how much force some of these fish produce, speed, yeah, all those sorts of things. You know, make it kind of fun, a little bit different than anybody else has ever done. And, it should be a good time. And then, you know, I'm just working my tail off all year to really, I've got a ton of ideas. I would say like this is the most most motivated and idea filled I've ever been. So I think 2017 is gonna be, I think it's gonna be scary.
Yeah, definitely. You sound extremely busy, Lane. Like, I'm not sure how you do it, man, but you're doing some great things. Just with your
track. Well, if you're truly passionate about something and you want to. My stated goal is to change the world, you know, make the world a better place through science and nutrition. And, you know, you make it a priority. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, on my Instagram today, on my stories, I was talking about fake hustle. And one of the things that really drives me nuts is all the people out there with the fake hustle.
Yeah.
You know, they're putting up pictures of lions and stuff on their Instagram, and they're complaining about their boss at their 9-to-5 job. And then they're going home and they ain't doing shit about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's
right.
Like, stop it. You're not a lion. You're not a wolf. You're not, you know, like, it's fine. Like, I'm not saying that somebody shouldn't be able to work a 9-to-5 job. Like, obviously we need people like that. You know, and not everybody is an entrepreneur mindset. I get that. But don't tell me you're a friggin' lion. You know, don't tell me that you're strong and independent, all this kind of stuff. Don't tell me that you're a grinder, that you're a hustler. Well, you know, if all you do is work a 9-to-5 and you go to the gym for a couple hours, I mean, I'm sorry, like, that's better than the average person, but I don't consider that, like, crazy hustle. Like, I just don't, you know? Like, what are you adding to the world, you know? So, anyways, I probably just offended, like, 90% of the audience out there. But,
no, man, it's great
stuff. At least they've got some take-home points, my man.
Well, I mean, again, like, you know, if you're happy at your job, at your 9-to-5 job, and you like just, you know, you like being a little more chill and all that kind of, there's nothing wrong with that. But just don't say that you're about that grind life, that you're about that hustle, that you're about. You ever talk to Rob Bailey and Dana Lynn Bailey? There's a reason they're some of the most successful people in the industry. It's because they work friggin' hard.
Yeah, they're beasts.
And so you look at anybody in this industry, most people in this industry, even people I don't agree with or don't even necessarily like, most of them are pretty darn hard workers. You know, and that's the difference. It's not just Angela Duckworth is a researcher, I think at Harvard, and she does her research basically on, for lack of a better term, grit. And she said that, you know, it's not necessarily, she said that most anybody can be intensely focused about something for a short period of time. She said the most successful people have stamina. They have more stamina than they have intensity, because it's easy to get excited about something and really focus on it for, you know, a couple months or a year or whatever. But it's hard to grind through like really slow times where it gets to be years, you know, like Avatar Nutrition. You guys are just hearing about it. We've been going for 2.5 years, you know. Like, we've been grinding through some really, really hard times where we thought we were going to have to close it down, but we didn't. So, anyways, that's my side rant on that.
Yeah, well, I guess adversity always, you know, promotes growth. But let's take it back to the origin a little bit. You know, with all this passion and this energy that you're bringing to us now, Was this always the case, Lane, or was there something that you developed over time?
I've always been a pretty passionate guy. I mean, it was about finding the right thing that was going to stick. You know what I mean? And once I knew what I wanted to really kind of do with my life in terms of I knew I wanted to be in something with bodybuilding and fitness and that sort of thing, it was kind of like never looking back. What I would say that really developed over the years was my confidence, you know, because you really have to have that confidence when you're going to be like an entrepreneur type or you almost have to have a confidence that borders on delusional. You know, I put something about this on my Instagram today. I struggled on and off with back injuries a few years ago before IPF Worlds, and a month out from IPF Worlds, I missed a squat that was almost 50 kilos less than what I was going to try and squat at Worlds to break the record. And I remember I started getting like, oh man, I don't know if this is going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
But I kept pressing forward. I was just like, all right, well, you know, I can't worry about that right now. You know, I'm just going to worry about this next workout and get that in. And I'll worry about the next workout and get that in, you know, and I'll just do it that way. And you know what? It happened. But I had a lot of people being like, oh, maybe you're right. You know, maybe you should consider, you know, withdrawing. You know, it's not the best idea. And it's not that those people are haters or anything like that. It's just that, you know, most people, it's hard to keep that confidence. They're going to let that insecurity win out. You know, say, well, I don't want to make a fool out of myself. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to fail. I don't want to do this and that, you know. And I just looked at it as like, well, I'm just going to give it everything I got. And if I come up short, then, you know, at least I have inner peace that I gave it everything I had. But yeah, I've always kind of been like this. I've always been like a pretty emotional driven. I mean, when I was like 13, you know, when you're a kid, it's not really like a cool thing to be driven or have goals.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of just want to
stay in line, right?
And fit in. And fortunately, you know, I did everything I could to fit in. And fortunately, I was friggin' terrible at it. Failed miserably. Thank God. You know, I when I talk to kids now, I tell them whatever makes you different is going to make you, that's what'll make you great one day. When I was 13 years old, like in my, we didn't have electronic calendars back then. I, you know, date myself, but I'm 35. But you know, I had written in the inside of my notebook, get back to work. And this is a 13 year old kid. You know what I mean? Like I wanted to do something in my life. And I think part of that might've been, you know, getting bullied growing up and people telling me I was going to be nothing, that I wasn't, you know, that it was, you know, that I was not worth very much and wanting to prove them wrong. I always tell people, like, my favorite pastime is proving people wrong.
Let's talk about that hustle and grind, Lane. You mentioned it earlier. How do you decipher what project to put your energy towards when you have so much on your plate?
You know, it's kind of like what needs my attention most right now, you know, so... Like at first it was coaching. You know, I really focused a lot on coaching when I got into this. Well, it's the only thing I had, but, you know, when Avatar started up, you know, over this past year, like I put a lot of attention in that cause that's what needed it. Cause it was, I really believe that'll be something that changes the world. A couple of years ago it was carbon, you know? So, I'm still focusing on all of them, you know, but it's just, yeah, where that focus goes. But it's kind of, you know, you can't really say, well, but even with that said, you can't really say, well, I'm focusing on Avatar. So all you clients who pay me for coaching, you're just going to have to chill out for a little while. Like I still got to get that stuff done. You know, I might take on less clients, but yeah, you still got to get everything done. So I just go, you know, I don't like, this is my hobby. I mean, I go fishing now and then, you know, and I'll go shoot my guns now and then. Those are my other hobbies, but for the most part, like this, you know, entrepreneurship and training, I mean, those are my hobbies, you know? So I don't really, you know, I might go see a movie every now and then, you know, other stuff, but there's very, very, you know, I don't go out in the club. I don't, you know, either. I just, there's not a whole lot of other stuff I do. And that's because I love this stuff and I'm passionate about it. So it doesn't really feel like work. You know, sometimes it feels like work, don't get me wrong, but usually it doesn't feel like work.
You mentioned earlier that when you were talking about Avatar, about integrity, and you're not into lying to sell. That's one of my favorite characteristic traits about yourself, Lane, is you shoot from the hip, you come from the heart. Integrity's big for yourself and your brand. What would you say your personal opinion is? What separates you and your brand from your competition?
Well, with regards to Carbon and Avatar, with Carbon, first off, we don't do proprietary blends. All our ingredients are listed on the side of the label in the doses we use. And I tell people, if you're buying a supplement with a proprietary blend, with all due respect to those companies that use proprietary blends, there's a reason it's a proprietary blend. It's because they're probably hiding something. Why would you not list the ingredients on the side of your bottle and what amounts are in there? And the second is, they're clinically dosed. So they're dosed in the amounts that are used in research studies to get you the best results. As far as Avatar goes, it's the people, man. I can't say it enough. Like Mark and Katie. So Katie Coles, who has a master's in nutrition and is a registered dietitian, she does so much work on, like, I was the one who wrote the original algorithm, but Katie does so much work tweaking it. Like, she probably has way more time into it now than I do in terms of tweaking the algorithm. And then we talk to each other and run things by each other, but that's her baby. And then, Mark is just so imaginative and so just forward thinking. Sometimes he drives us crazy because, people that, imaginative, sometimes they can, like, go way off, but the people just make the difference. And, there's other companies who have come out with similar things, but you don't really hear about them much. And I believe that's because, one, we have our algorithm just works really, really well. And we knew actually when people, there was another company that came out and I'm not knocking them. I think they have a good product actually. But they said, we ran our algorithm with several hundred users. And I'm thinking, we tested on several hundred users. And I thought, ours didn't even really start to work real well until we had several thousand through it. Because you just need so much data for that stuff to really compile. And I was thinking, okay, well, you're going to have some problems.
Yeah.
Because we were just, it sounds like something simple enough, but what you don't realize is that a computer program has no room for nuance or interpretation. It's a black, white, 1-0, yes or no. And so, a lot of times what you'd have happen is you'd have, certain things come together. Like, for example, you'd have a user who missed a weigh-in, who was non-compliant, their weight went up, and they were on their period, and it would give some kind of crazy adjustment. We'd have to go back in. We have to go back into the raw data calculation, say, okay, where did this get weird? Why did it not make the adjustment that we wanted it to make? And then we have to go back and put constraints on it, And for example, for lean muscle gain, if let's say you're targeting a quarter of a pound per or an eighth of a kilo per week of muscle gain, right? You're going slow. Well, you know this when you're adding calories, there's gonna be weeks where you gain a kilo and then the next week you'll lose half a kilo. And then you'll gain a kilo and a half, and then you'll lose a kilo, it jumps up. So if the algorithm's expecting a quarter pound linear, and it gets, it gets a kilo, it may drop calories before it necessarily needs to. And so we had to put all kinds of restraints on the algorithm so that in certain situations, some things matter and then other things don't. And in other certain situations, X matters, but only if Y is present and when Z is in a certain range. It's just so crazy complicated. So that's why I think the difference is our product works better than everybody else. And then also we just have great customer support. If you contact Avatar and you have a problem, definitely within hours and usually within minutes, somebody's getting back to you. So, whereas a lot of these companies don't even have customer support, and if they do, it's not going to be as good as ours. And so that's why, this may sound, coaching, online coaching. I don't want to say I was the first person to do online coaching, but I was really one of the first people who popularized it.
Yeah.
Who people saw doing it. And I had people all the time say, doesn't it bother you that other people copy you, what you do with flexible dieting? And I said, no, by all means, copy me. Go for it. Because, this is not like I can trademark online, copyright or or patent online coaching. You know, you can't do that. But go for it, because you're not going to work as hard as me. You're not going to have the same level of passion and drive that I have. So go for it, you know. And if you beat me, then it means I wasn't working hard enough.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Lincoln, just sticking on supplements, can I get your opinion on what you think works and what, you know, the audience out there should be avoiding?
Well, I mean, you know, what works, anything can work to a certain extent. But, you know, I really, you know, there's not a whole lot of stuff out there that's going to make a big difference. And keep in mind, when I say this stuff can help, you know, this is a very small percentage of the puzzle. You know, the benefit you're going to get from supplements compared to like a proper nutrition and training is just so small. But, you know, what I tell people is, you know, as long as you understand that, and as long as you understand, you know, as long as you aren't looking to get miracles out of it and you're just looking for a way to maybe optimize things a little bit more, you know, then that's fine. But don't you dare, you know, spend your rent money on supplements, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, creatine monohydrate is one of the tried and true. Whey protein, a lot of great research on whey protein. You know, branched chain amino acids, there is some speculation about them in terms of, you know, some people say they're worthless and this and that. I think there's relatively good data to suggest they may have a small beneficial optimization effect on muscle protein synthesis, as well as reducing delayed onset muscle soreness and improving recovery after a workout. Then citrulline malate, there's some good, you know, anti-fatigue data on that. HMB is not the great savior that everybody's made it out to be, but it does seem to have some beneficial effects on reducing muscle protein breakdown when you're possibly in a caloric deficit or some kind of catabolic situation. Beta-alanine can be useful, but really only if you're doing exercise that lasts over 90 seconds continuously.
Yep.
If you're using it for, you know, five reps or wanting it your five rep max to improve it, that's not going to work. There's a few others. I also like nootropics, you know.
I was just going to ask you that, Lane. Are the nootropic, urogenic, modafinil sort of smart drug right now? It's kind of booming. Is that, yeah. Have you ever taken these? And coming from a doctor perspective, could you educate us listening on what those are?
So nootropics are things that basically enhance cognitive function. We actually, in Carbon Prep, we have different nootropics like huperzine, alpha-GPC, Rodelia, Rosea. So basically what those are doing, a lot of them, how they work is they increase ATP content in brain cells. And that can help improve cognitive function. And a lot of the, like, for example, alpha-GPC and huperzine are acetylcholinesterase inhibitors. So there's some good data on those. Rodelia is probably a little bit more of a, what you would call an adaptogen. Also useful for people who want to wean themselves off caffeine, actually. So the reason I like those is, Carbon Prep does not have added stimulants to it. And the reason I did it that way was because I felt like, you know, a lot of people have pre-workouts that have, you know, your creatine and your citrulline malate and your other, you know, the other performance of betaine is another good supplement that increases power output and possibly performance. But you want to get your betaine, your creatine, your citrulline malate, you know, branched chains, whatever. But it's always coming with a hefty dose of caffeine, right?
Mm.
So one of the things that I really wanted to do was basically people be able to take their pre-workout every day, whether they work out or not, because you could take Carbon Prep, for example, and just use it to study or use it to work. You don't have to use it for your workout.
Is it a stimulant?
No, it's not. So there's no
central nervous system, nothing going on there?
Correct. Okay. Correct. So no caffeine, nothing like that. No Yohimbine. So, you know, you can take it and you feel focused, but you don't feel jittery or anything like that. It's also great for people who work out at night, you know, who maybe have trouble getting to sleep after taking stimulants. And then if you want to take a stimulant, you can always take it with it. You can always take, you know, a good dose of caffeine or Yohimbine or something like that and combine it with it and get, you know, really nice effects from that. But I always felt like, you know, it'd be nice to have the option to not have that hefty dose of stimulants.
I know a comp coach down here in Sydney, Australia, who is pretty vocal about taking small doses, so microdosing the active ingredient that's in Viagra, and then caffeine, and he's using it as a pre-workout. What's your opinion on this?
Well, I assume he's wanting to use the small dose of Viagra as a blood flow agent.
Yeah. Is that something that you would... Is this science, or is this something that's like his own dogmatic belief that works for him?
I kind of fail to see the point of that, to be quite honest with you. The blood flow enhancement from Viagra seems to be pretty, because so the way Viagra was actually discovered is an interesting story. They were actually running Viagra for a blood pressure trial. As a possible way to lower blood pressure, because if you increase blood flow, you will lower blood pressure. Is the simple way to look at it. And what they found was they didn't really change blood pressure. So when they were stopping the study, I think, and they started collecting the unused. They wanted to collect the unused pills, and the men did not want to give them up. And when the researchers asked them, finally, reluctantly, the men admitted that they got really good erections while on Viagra. And so that's how Viagra was discovered as a
performance sexual enhancer.
Yeah, performance enhancer. You know, I don't see, unless you want a really good hard-on while you work out, maybe you're wearing tights to the gym or something and you would like to, you know, advertise a little bit more for the ladies. I don't.
Yeah, there's just a lot of that type of stuff going around, man. And it was good to get your perspective on that.
I mean, maybe he has some crazy idea of things that I'm not seeing, but I don't really see the point of that, to be honest with you.
Lane, are you still competing in powerlifting?
Well, I want to be. I'm kind of trying to work through some injuries right now that have sidelined me for the past year and a half. But hopefully the plan is to be able to come back and do nationals this year.
Yeah. For the people out there, can we just get a little bit of insights into kind of how you're training at the moment?
Well, I'm back to doing all the competition lifts again, squatting and deadlifting and bench pressing. So right now I'm only at about, I'm literally about half my capacity for squats right now, and about three-fifths for deadlifts. So I'm just coming back kind of linearly. I'm not doing any kind of fancy programming. I'm just literally doing sets of five for squats and adding 10 pounds every week. And you know, I'll just keep doing that until it starts to get difficult, and then I'll start doing a little more fancier programming. With regards to deadlifts, it's pretty similar, adding 10 to 15 pounds a week and just kind of linearly progressing.
Yep.
And then on bench press, I'm doing daily undulating periodization, although I'm on a taper right now. But so basically I'm doing, one day I'll do sets of seven, one day I'll do sets of five, one day I'll do sets of three, and I'm also throwing some conservative maxing in every once in a while.
Okay, so for the big lifts, you're doing that practically every day.
No, I'm not, I'm so sorry. So squats and deadlifts I'm training twice a week, and bench I'm training three times a week.
Ah, okay, cool. Awesome. And really just between your competing in both bodybuilding and then obviously after that into powerlifting, in terms of the different mindsets that you needed for both, can you just give us a little bit of insights into your preparation for that?
Well, you know, with bodybuilding, it's more of both are mental struggles, but bodybuilding, I would say, is a little bit more of a marathon. You know, you're just kind of, you get to the doldrums of prep and you're just kind of trying to grind through each day. Powerlifting is difficult because you're dealing with injuries, you're dealing with, you know, fatigue, managing fatigue, those sorts of things. On competition day, you know, bodybuilding, the work has basically already been done. You know, you have a lot of nerves, but there's not a whole lot you can do with those nerves. You know, you're just, you're going to get on stage, you're going to pose, and if you've done your, you know, yes, posing and all those sorts of things can make a difference. But for the most part, if you look really, really good a week out, you're going to do really, really good on stage unless you really, really screw up your last week. Yeah. Whereas powerlifting, you know, you come out and if you're in your own head or something like that, you miss a command, you don't execute correctly, you get out of position, you miss lifts, you know. And so you can have everything, you know, I've seen this. I have seen people crushing it in their training and then they go on the platform and they way underperform, you know. And so I actually really like powerlifting because I get a way to use those nerves. Like I get to use those nerves, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, when it comes to, I found this out about myself. I tend to be a pretty good performer under pressure. So I actually love meat day. I love big meats. I love a lot of pressure. I love it coming down to the last deadlift and, you know, having to pull it to win and having that pressure. I love that. That is like the feeling of being alive. And, one of the best compliments I ever got was from Matt Gary, who's the head of the U.S. Coaching Committee for powerlifting. And he said, you're a pretty intimidating guy because your competition knows when if you're there, B plus Lane Norton and showing up, it's going to be A plus Lane Norton and they're going to have to deal with you. So, I don't really care. I don't really worry too much about my competition. I just focus on taking care of what I can take care of. And then when it gets to the last deadlift, then I worry about, you know, okay, what's somebody else doing? Where can I jump somebody? You know, those sorts of things. But I just focus on going 6 for 6 heading into deadlift, and then we start worrying about what everybody else has done.
Lane, both bodybuilding and powerlifting, it seems that, now this, I know nothing about, I've never competed in either or, but it seems that if you don't win whatever your event you're in, it's kind of like the level of fulfillment and the level of disappointment seems a huge disparity, probably leaning towards the disappointment. If this is the case, do you have any techniques or things that work for you to help offset that mindset of, like, I know a lot of guys that I know down here who train, who do compete, they go through these months of moments of just being down, waiting to either get back on stage or have that meet start again to prove themselves again. And it just seems to me that they're not getting a lot of guidance mentally on how to either overcome these so-called failures or move on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how you failed, you know, like if I had a real bad meet one time. I was all set to break the American squat record, and I went out there and I just I felt like I got judged unfairly. It was not the organization I'm in currently, which I feel is the best organization out there, which is the USAPL, which is an IPF affiliate. I felt like I had gotten judged unfairly, not because I felt like I was being held to a higher standard than the other competitors, if that makes sense. Maybe that was just my perception, but that was shared by several people. But you know, I got done, and it was just a huge disappointment because I wanted to break that record, and I wasn't able to do it. And so, you know, I think it was about 9 months till I competed again, and at first I was pretty down, and then I just said, okay, so let's use this as motivation to show up and do even better. You know, let's do even better and show them they were wrong, you know. So that's what I try to do. Like anytime I have, you know, you tell me I can't do something or somebody I feel like, you know, gives me the short end of the stick or whatever, you know, people betray you, all that kind of stuff. Like you have big setbacks. I try to take all that negative energy, all that pain, all that, you know, disappointment and just ball it up into focus for doing better, because what else are you going to do, right? Sitting around feeling sorry for yourself ain't going to do shit. I can promise you. Anybody out listening out there, feeling sorry for yourself is a waste of your damn time. It really is. Like, I'm not saying I've never felt sorry for myself. I have, but it was a waste of time. Like, Yeah. Process it and get over it as fast as you can, because you got work to do. Get back after it. You know, like, listen, I was, I won nationals 2 years in a row. The second year after I won, this is actually about a year ago. It's about a year ago. I injured my hip in the gym, and it took me out of the Arnold. And I said, okay, well, at least I'll make worlds. And I went through all kinds of treatments. I was getting electrical stim. I was getting massage. I got cortisone shots. I did everything I possibly could, and it just didn't get better. You know, they gave me painkillers. That didn't help. You know, like, it just did not get better. And, it was really disappointing. And then in the meantime, I aggravated two herniated discs in my neck, and I lost 100 pounds off my bench as well. And I was just, 12 weeks out from the meet, just to realize that it just wasn't going to happen. It was really hard, to go to Worlds is not an easy thing. You got to win nationals to go to Worlds. And nationals, when I won it last, in my class alone, there was 170 lifters, I think, something like that. So it is not an easy deal to get done. And so to miss out on that opportunity when you never are promised another one, that was hard. And then, I kept going at it, started to come back. My deadlift was all the way back up. My squat was almost back up to, mid 500s, bench was all the way back up. And then I injured my lower back and went all the way back to ground zero, and I had to sit there and listen to people tell me that I should retire. I was too old. I've had too many injuries, all this kind of stuff. And here I come back again. So I will keep trying to stand back up. And at no point did I let myself feel sorry for myself for more than a few minutes, because it's just not going to do a damn thing. It's just not. I'd rather take that and focus it into something that's positive that moves me forward. And you know what? Maybe it's impossible for me to come back. Maybe it just won't happen. But I'm going to give it every single thing I got, do as much rehab, mobility work, whatever I need to do. And if it doesn't happen, at least I know that I gave it everything I had.
Yeah, some great takeout points said, man. For the people, man. Lane, I was just really curious, what was the difference in weight for when you were a powerlifter and when you were a bodybuilder?
So stage weight for bodybuilding, last time I competed was low 190s, which is about, in kilos. It's
about 80 kilos or so, would it?
Oh, don't tell me that short.
about 85?
about 86, 87.
And then...
Yeah, so somewhere around there.
Yeah, and then what about when you were powerlifting?
I compete in the 93-kilo class, and at Worlds, I weighed in at 91.5. So not too far off. Yeah. That's pretty darn lean. I actually had some glute striations the day I broke the world squat record.
Do you struggle to put on weight, Lane?
Not anymore. when I was a teenager, I did, and then I did my first contest prep, and that solved any hunger problems I ever had. I never had to worry about being hungry again because I'm hungry all the time. Now I'm like a fat kid now, So I'd eat 5,000 calories a day if I could.
All right, we're going to enter the personality round, Lane, to finish off our episodes. Johnny's got a first question for you.
All right, Lane.
I don't have any of that.
Yeah, right.
Not at all, man.
Has been awesome, man. We have a couple more questions, Lane. We're looking forward to these last few. So, Lane Norton, if three of the closest people in your life were sitting at a round table and you weren't in the room, what were some of the things they would be saying about you?
They would say, if we're talking about overall, they'd say, Lane's a passionate guy. Who drives us crazy sometimes, but we know he always has our backs and we love him. And they probably also would say that after the round meet for a day, they usually need to take a nap. that sort of stuff. But yeah, something like that. That I'm a passionate guy, hard worker, a good friend, but I drive him crazy sometimes.
All right, next one. We're going to take you back to your childhood, Lane. What were the posters you had on your bedroom wall growing up?
Well, one was Ryan Sandberg, who was the second baseman
for the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah. So he was my favorite baseball player growing up. So that was one. I had a big poster of sharks on my wall because I actually wanted to be a marine biologist. I wanted to be a shark biologist when I grew up.
Really?
I actually had a lot of shark stuff on my wall. And then just assorted, like, you know, a poster of Wrigley Field, you know, basically stuff from Cubs and sharks. That's what I was when I was growing up. I was a Cubs fan and I studied sharks. I was a science geek from the beginning.
Andre Dawson, man, playing in the – he was a beast.
Andre Dawson. Actually, I got a great story about that. So I sent I sent a lot of baseball cards to players to sign in spring training. I'd send them to spring training because they were more likely to sign them. And Dawson, you know, like he was a Hall of Famer.
The Hawk, man. When your nickname's the Hawk, you're a bad boy.
Yeah, he was the original five-tool player. People don't realize
that. Yeah, man. He was one of my favorites.
Yeah, he was all. I remember him throwing a guy out, tagging from third base from the warning track.
Yeah, you know, man, he had a cannon.
But yeah, he signed it, sent it back with like a little note and everything, saying thank you for your support. Would you mind, you know, if you don't mind, here's my charity. If you wouldn't mind donating to it, you know,
I was like, man,
what a classy guy, you know, because that's like to write a handwritten note too. Like, man, you know he's not got a whole lot of time to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
You know, I think he probably noticed it was from a kid and, you know, was happy to do it. But, you know, so I actually went and donated $5 as a 10-year-old kid, you know. So, but yeah, that always stuck with me. And I was always a big fan after that.
Have you still got the note?
Yeah, really cool.
Have you still got it?
Yeah. I don't. You know, it's probably somewhere in my shelves of junk from my childhood. You know, my parents probably have stowed away somewhere. But actually, the third baseman from the Cubs at that time, too, this guy was named Luis Salazar. He wasn't a big name, but I sent him a card to sign. He sent me back 3 cards that were signed. Maybe because he wasn't a big name, he was just so tickled to get asked for an autograph, you know?
Yeah, just yesterday, Tris and I were about to go live on a show, and I was telling him about how I grew up collecting cards. So, like, baseball cards, and, yeah, I had a Cubs pin. I grew up in Northeast Ohio, so I was a Cleveland fan, but the Cubs, right. Man... And the irony what happened this year is pretty...
Yeah.
It was hard for me to cheer again, like not cheer for the Cubs in that scenario, even though I'm an Indians fan. But
you know, it's funny when it got to the last inning. Last inning of that game.
What a game! Yep.
Oh man, we're up by 2 runs.
Rajon Davis hits that bomb.
One of the greatest World Series of all time.
Yeah, man, classy too.
Really classy. Well, I love Francona and Madden, both great managers. But you know, it was funny because we had one out. And there was a runner on first base.
Yep.
And we were up by 2. And if you ask every single Cubs fan at that moment, would you rather be the Cubs or the Indians right now? They would say, probably the Indians. They're going to win. You know, like we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. But yeah, it was great to get that win and to see that. I was in a bar with a buddy of mine and we were going nuts.
Yeah. Dude, so in the 8th inning, I was sitting at the top of our health club in this like massive seating area, like 300 people and all Australian businessmen. I'm watching that 8th inning on my laptop when and it's all quiet because the culture here is a little bit quieter than in America. And when Davis hits when Davis hits that home run to tie it, I stand up in this crowded room and just go crazy. I had my headphones in and I had to run out of there like, I'm sorry. Oh my God. Like it was crazy. But before we let you go, we got our dinner party question. Lane Norton, you're hosting a private dinner party. You get to invite 5 people. They can't be any family or friends, but they could be anybody dead or alive. Who are you inviting to dinner?
Man, wow. I'm probably inviting Arnold, not because of the meathead stuff, but because I actually really respect him as a businessman.
Yeah, have you met him before?
And is a really charismatic guy. Actually, my wife has a great Arnold story. She was pregnant. She was pregnant at the 2013 Arnold Classic, and she was backstage because I was doing the announcing, and. When Arnold comes through, he has his whole security team come through, you know, and they're getting everybody up and they're like, all right, everybody's got to move out of here. And so Isabel gets up and she starts moving out of the room and Arnold looks at her and Isabel's pregnant. Arnold goes, no, she stays and get her a chair, you know. then he's like, so when is the baby due? And she's like, oh, he's due in June. He's like, oh, it's a boy? And she's like, yeah, it's a boy. He's like, ah, have you have any names picked out? I hear Arnold's a great one. you know, just like really funny, charismatic guy. So he'd be one. Let's see here. Probably, man, I guess Dead or Alive?
Dead or Alive, man. Yeah, yeah.
Probably Steve Jobs. Les Brown.
Yes.
Eric Thomas. And then let me see. Who else would I want? You know, probably Joe Weider, ironically, okay. Because I would love to hear more about, like, the, you know, like, I don't agree with all his business practices, but, you know, God, who's seen more in the fitness industry than him? So that would be an interesting, just right off the top of my head, list of people that I would want to be in a room with.
Yeah, for sure. There are some awesome people there. Lane, you've been brilliant, man. Just before we let you leave, where can the people continue to follow you online and on social media, man?
Yeah, so my website, biolane.com, is kind of the centerpiece for everything that goes on with me. And then obviously my service that we're talking, my website does have a membership area where I do like webinars and articles and videos and whatnot. And then my service, Avatar Nutrition, that I was talking about earlier, that's avatarnutrition.com. If you're interested in my supplement range, you can go to bodybuilding.com, and that's where we sell it exclusively.
Yep.
And that's Carbon by Lane Norton. And then on social media, you can find me pretty much everywhere as BioLane, and that's YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. And then on Facebook, my Facebook fan page is facebook.com/Lane Norton.
Lane, man, if you're ever down at Sydney, Australia, let us know.
Well, I will be. I will be. Not this year, but 2018, I'll be coming back. So you guys will hear from me.
Yeah, definitely, man. Thanks so much for your time, man. And let's do this again.
Yeah, we appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Guys, that was Lane Norton.
BioLane, man. This guy is super inspiring.
Oh, Jesus, man. Like, he's just inspired me to work on my business, my fitness game. He's just...
But that headspace and framework of outworking people, you know, we'll save it too. We wrap it up, but this episode's one of those, every now and then we'll do one, and the selfish side of me will be like, maybe we should... This has never happened, but sometimes I'm like, Tristan, man, I kind of don't want to share this one. It's full of, like, value, you know, because we're both, you know, creating stuff on the side and businesses, and that's why we love this platform. We love you guys enjoying and supporting the cause, because you get to share these experiences and learn from a guy like BioLane.
Hell yeah. So, guys, if you haven't yet, just remember, subscribe to the show via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Johnny, the social media?
Yeah, man, check us out. Check me out, Johnny Stofko, Instagram, Facebook. You could go to the YouTube channel, Johnny Stofko. Tristan Cannell.
Yep, Tristan Cannell Fitness across all. And just remember, guys, if you have any feedback or guest requests, send us an email, info@thevisionboardpodcast.com.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, guys, next on the show, like we said on the Jessica Watson episode, we're just going to do Friday Recap a little bit differently this week. We've got UFC star Stephen Wonderboy Thompson joining us. So it's going to be the first kind of 10-15 minutes of me and Johnny just chatting about the take-home points from both Jessica Watson and from Lane Norton. And then when Steve's ready, we'll get him on the line and we will chat about his upcoming fight with Tyron Woodley, which is the UFC welterweight championship.
Yeah, guys, when we first started the show, we were almost a fighter podcast. We were interviewing a lot of these fighters. Wonderboy, you guys don't know who he is, one of my favorite styles. He's a striker. He's super fun to watch. He's a real-life ninja. So we're excited to brush shoulders with this guy.
Yeah, hell yeah. I think he's going to be the champ. So not every day you get to speak to the future champ. So, guys, tune in. Just to give you a preview for next week. Next week we've got Melissa Ambrosini. She is a female health and wellness advocate here in Australia. Very, very popular. So for your Americans, tune in. And then we've got the fantastic Brian Rose to also. He's the host of London Real. He's actually American. So he's doing some great things. One of the best commentators / broadcasters I see in the podcast network. So.
He's so smooth. He's so experienced. My man has a degree from MIT. I won't say much more, but yeah, I'm excited for that one too. You should be.
Yeah, you should tune in too, CJ. We know you're listening, man.
CJ, Chris Johnson, shout out.
Yeah, definitely, guys. So we'll catch you on Friday, but in the meantime, you guys all stay safe and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down but get back up, and that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.